Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 1, we were talking about Jesus as the foundation and our service, and we build on that foundation with faith, hope, and love. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
In serving Christ, he is the foundation. Faith, love, and hope are the virtues with which we build on that foundation. For an example, we are to pray in faith. We are to preach and witness the gospel to others in love. We are to work with hope of eternal reward. Now, let us look at these verses particularly. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus here in our text, Colossians 1, verse 4, this tells us then that holy people have a living faith in Christ Jesus. In James 2 and verse 20, he says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Now understand the kind of faith this is, and you really need to listen and maybe write some of this down as I'm explaining this to you, because I think this will really be a help for your faith. Now, the English word in, I-N, in the Greek is the preposition eis, E-I-S, and we pronounce it ace, A-C-E, okay? It's used in John 3:16, for whosoever believeth in him, ace him, means literally to believe into. This is speaking of initial faith that a sinner exercises in the Lord Jesus Christ. This, then, is a preposition of motion. You're believing into. However, when we read Colossians 1:4, he says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ." The word "in" here is the Greek word "in," E-N, instead of "ace." And he's saying, "in Christ Jesus." But this preposition is a preposition of rest. Having placed our faith into him, it now rests in him. It's unmovable and it is convinced. For an example, let's say that you're given a free ticket to fly on a jet to Hawaii. Now, maybe you have a fear of flying. You're fearful. You're apprehensive. But you're shown the jet, and it's the best jet ever made. It's passed all of its tests. It's very airworthy, and it has the world's best pilot. So you're convinced that it's airworthy and capable. And so you get on the jet to fly to Hawaii. Now, that is active belief. That is active faith, as believing into Christ in John 3:16. On the jet, you can walk around while it's flying. You can eat. You can sleep. That is a faith that rests in, or now believes in, and is reliant upon. In other words, you're not worried. You know that it can fly you. Now, let's just take that a little further. A man is given a free ride to Hawaii in this jet, but he's apprehensive. So he believed into it. He actually gets onto it. He believes into it. But then when he lands in Hawaii, he says, "Yeah, but I didn't put all my weight on it." Well, he acted in faith, but not a resting faith or an anchored faith. Let's say this man gets on the plane and he doesn't have this resting faith. He's believed in too, but if he were to eat on the plane, he'd get sick. He's worried about crash. He can't sleep. And this man, although he's believed into, he doesn't have a resting faith. And so he's going to be miserable, sick, and he's going to be in no condition to enjoy his flight or Hawaii as much as he could if he had had a resting faith. Now, many people are the same way with salvation. They've believed unto Christ, they've believed unto salvation, but now, instead of trusting Christ with it, they worry about losing it. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, let me read that to you. It says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Now, let me break those two verses down for you. Now, when you give an earnest on something, earnest money, then that means that you're giving that for something and that the rest of the payment will be made in full. The rest of the agreement will be taken care of. Now, if you don't take care of the rest of the agreement at the appointed time, then you lose that earnest money. Now, Ephesians 1:14 says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, our redemption comes at the day that we are raptured up there and we have the change in the body, okay? And we're given a new body. And we are the purchased possession. We've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the price of redemption. And so we are that which the earnest has been paid upon until we are raptured. But notice it says we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He doesn't say sealed by. He says sealed with. What does that mean? It means simply this. For you to be saved and then lose it, since God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit, for you to lose your salvation, God has to lose his Holy Spirit. That's not going to happen. That's why Jonah tells us salvation is of the Lord. In Jude 24, it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Notice, he's the one that keeps you from falling, not yourself. Your work, you think, is only to keep your salvation. Imagine being on that plane, not eating certain foods for fear it will make it harder to survive a crash. You fear to get up and go to a restroom because you think it'll make the airplane unbalanced and it might crash. Well, you will never enjoy that ride. And my friend, you'll never enjoy singing. You'll never enjoy Sunday school teaching. You'll never enjoy any ministry of the church. You won't enjoy prayer, the Bible, your church services, if you're doing it to keep your salvation instead of doing it out of trust. You eat on the airplane because you trust that plane and pilot. You win souls. You're faithful to church. You love the brethren. You resist the devil. You speak the truth in love. You edify the saints because you know it will be rewarded. Not because it keeps your salvation, but you know it'll be rewarded. And so you have a resting faith. And that's what Colossians 1 verse 4 is talking about your faith in Christ. Now let's skip down to the word hope in verse 5. Laid up for you in heaven. That word for in Colossians 1:5 has the idea of through. In other words, through the work you have done. This then is telling us that the hope of eternal reward in heaven. Now, not your salvation. That's not speaking of salvation. This is talking about your rewards. And the hope of reward in heaven has motivated them to love the saints and to have a resting faith in Christ Jesus. This word hope is not a word that includes doubt. Rather, it's anticipation. You flip a coin and you say, "Oh, I hope it's heads." Well, that's a hope that includes doubt. But if I say, We have a summer home in the mountains with a freezer stocked with steaks of all kind. And I hope to enjoy it all summer long. Well, that hope is sure because there's a house in the mountains and steak is in the freezer. It's ready. Therefore, this hope is a hope of anticipation, not doubt. Now, in case you're wondering, no, I don't have a home in the mountains and I don't have a freezer that's stocked with steak in the mountains or here, okay? But nonetheless, that's a good illustration of what I'm trying to say. The Bible talks about crowns for the Christian. For example, there's the crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown. You go out and you witness to others and you lead them to Jesus Christ. Now, it's up to the person whether or not they receive Christ as Savior, but you lead them to Christ. Then they make a decision. You turn them to righteousness. They make a decision. But those that turn many to righteousness, those that lead others to Jesus Christ, have a crown. And you don't have to doubt that, but you can look forward to it as anticipation. There's a crown, so you have hope. Now, go back to the word love in verse 4 of Colossians 1. Today's society wants to make you feel good. But where's the substance? Again, we go back to the Greek. There is love that is merely a physical, sensual thing. As a matter of fact, it is the subject of much music and TV and movies today. The Greek word is eros. From that word has come the word erotic. It's interesting, though, that the Greek word eros is not found in the New Testament. That kind of love is not mentioned. Christians need to quit allowing soap operas, rock musicians, and liberal educators tell us what love is and let the Word of God tell us what it is. Then another Greek word, which is an admirable love, which may be a family love. It's a best friend's love. It's called philia. From that word philia, we get the word Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love, because that's what it means, is brotherly love. In John chapter 21, do you remember the story there? Three times Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And Jesus would say, "Feed my sheep," or "Feed my lambs." And people thought that the third time, when it says Peter was grieved because Jesus asked him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" that he was grieved because the Lord's asked him the same question three times. But that's not the case. The first time, Jesus said, "Peter, do you agape me?" Peter's answer was, "Yea, Lord, I philia you. I have a best friend's love for you." And so Jesus asked him a second time, "Peter, do you agape me?" Peter says, "Lord, you know that I have a filial love for you." The third time, Jesus says, "Peter, do you filio me?" And oh, Peter is cut to the heart. He's grieved because now Jesus is questioning his filial love. And he says, "Oh, yes, Lord, you know I filio you." This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.